Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Atkinson stops, far half wall, high slot, Jones. Near point, Panarin shoots, Rask the save, rebound, they score! It's Duchesne who celebrates with a power play goal. The Blue Jackets victorious 3-2 in double overtime. And this series is tied at one game apiece.
Hi, Zo.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Doing great.
Bruins. Bruins not so good.
Yeah.
Not so hot. Long night.
You think?
A lot of time it took to lose that one.
Sure did.
Shoot the puck.
Jesus.
Shoot already.
On the power play?
On everything. The whole night.
Have they had power play chances? Yes. Yes, they have.
Plenty of them.
They're good at passing, boy.
Plenty of those opportunities.
I like that. Little dap and do.
I felt like for the first time in a while, we were watching the Claude Julien Bruins again.
Do you know what? Okay. I'm glad you said that.
I'm watching this game. Like, what? Is Claude coaching the team again? What are we, searching for the perfect shot tonight?
Round one against Montreal. I can't remember if it was 11 or 13. Was it 11? Round one against Montreal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, when they went down 0-2 and then they had to come back. Yeah, Char had the flu at the start of the series. He didn't play. It was a big deal.
Right. Game one or two, and they had picked up Caberlet on the to help them. Help them on the power play.
Puck moving defenseman.
Right.
I remember.
Tomas.
Yeah. The only game I went to that entire postseason was one of those first couple of Montreal games. And I remember sitting there in the garden, first Bruins power play of the game, maybe of the series, and they're doing the puck pass back and forth, and the crowd is silent, and somebody about three quarters of the way up Loge 20 just goes, yells,
boring.
There was more energy in the building on Saturday night, but the result was the same. What are you doing?
I want a dollar.
Put it on the net.
I wanted a dollar, and all three of us were there for every moan and groan that you heard during this power play. The whole building was like, Even my kid who really doesn't get it was screaming, shoot the puck. And I'm like, wow. If that is a damn.
I mean, they wasted that 4-minute power play they got when Corrali was bleeding, right?
Jesus.
I mean, that was 4 minutes of hell. You're like, what the? Come on!
Well, it started with a shorty going the other way, didn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so that put a damper on things right away. It was not a good game. That second period, they just.
Oh, is that a brand new sweatshirt you got there? Still have the tag on it?
I didn't even know it was there. Sorry, buddy.
Is that what Jim was telling you to do? Rip your tag out?
Jim just told me.
That's nice. Nice sweatshirt.
TV just told me, hey, Zoe has a tag sticking out of his shirt.
Yeah, it's nice new clothes.
I think someone went to BJ's just based on the price.
That's okay.
No, it's not.
Nothing wrong with that.
Where'd you go?
Olympia.
Oh, that's a good price.
It is. It's a nice price.
A knockoff?
Not a knockoff.
I'll knock you off.
Over Armour?
BJ's doesn't do knockoffs.
Over Armour.
No, but they're at a good price.
Yeah. You're damn straight. Again, you know I like a good deal, Hardy.
Poor steaks. Oh.
You know I like a good deal.
The New York strips at BJ's are unreal. Like four packs. Oh, my God.
So there's BJ's plug for the day. Yeah, the power play was a problem, but I felt like all night it was a problem that he just didn't challenge Bobrovsky enough. They didn't. They didn't take enough shots.
Man,
they had more opportunities.
Man.
They didn't do it. And if they lose another game in this series, if they lose another game in this series, hey, I'm still very confident in the Bruins' abilities here. every time they lose to this team, I'm going to feel, and I think many of us are going to feel, like they have no business losing games to this team. Because I felt that way walking away from that game Saturday night.
Yeah.
Every time they're going to lose a game, I say, oh, God, you're better than these guys. Where the hell's your top line? Where's your top talent? You are better than this Columbus team. I look at Columbus, I look at Panarin, and I'm like, that's your team. That's your guy. He had two goals. He also had the shot that led to the rebound on the game winner in overtime. Like, he's their team. He's their top talent. He's their guy. You're better than them. The Bruins are much better than the Blue Jackets. And every time, if they lose another game, you're going to feel this way. The way I feel, which is you have no business losing to these guys.
Right. I thought
you're a better team than this.
The tempo was good. They came out. The Char hit on Nash and all that. I thought they established some physicality at the start of that game. You know, home in the building. I know people said it wasn't loud, and I know that we're going to get to some of that stuff with what the Blue Jackets said, but I thought the place was rocking. I did. I thought it was loud. I thought it was boisterous. Now, that game felt like a slugfest once it got into the third. I think you even called it a beetle. This sucker's heading for overtime. This thing's got overtime written all over it.
I said that with
you said that, I think.
15 right, minutes to go in the third period.
About, like, no,
oh,
it was
no,
like
this
16,
one's going overtime. Yeah. I could feel it. I could feel it.
Oh, no, please no.
We're going to be here all night.
Yep.
We weren't all there all night, but the game went on all night.
Yeah.
A lot of empty seats there in the extra sessions. We'll get to that.
Well, it's bad.
There's
it's bad.
Some criticism of the fan base for that.
Well, concessions already closed. They're counting tips, and you see everybody's just counting all the dollars.
Do you know what I think it's a sort of a symptom of?
Keep that
the fact
going.
That nobody respects the Blue Jackets because we don't think they're that good. We don't respect them. I don't.
Do you look at that as a blown
opportunity? You don't have to. You don't have to respect the Blue Jackets. You can look at that game and say, damn it, Bruins, you blew a chance on Saturday night to win a game at home and go up 2-0 in this series. And you can look at that this entire series, the whole way. You don't have to respect this team. The Bruins are better than these guys. Where the hell are the top Bruins scorers?
I tell you this.
Where are these guys?
Because Pasternak does not look right. That's one thing I'd take for that. He's got to be hurt. He's got to be dealing with something. I know people said, well, maybe he re-injured the hand. It looks to me like it's something different.
He is insisting that he is healthy, by the way.
Okay.
Because he's been asked, and he says, I'm healthy, not hurt. His quote was, I feel good. And was asked if he's healthy. He said yes, 100%.
So what is it then? So then it's his head because Cassidy's moving him around, like up and down. We could switch up the lines. Like, hey, you're on notice.
I don't know, but if you're as good as David Pasternak, you're not supposed to just go that mental,
right?
Because you drop down a line.
All he's got to do is pop one in. Just pop one. He or Bergeron. Oh God, that opportunity by Bergeron. You go back and you look at the thing in slow mo too with the puck. That's a tough shot. That puck was moving all over the place.
He had a single shot on goal. That, again, is a symptom of the team's problems on Saturday night. David Pasternak with one shot. That is not enough.
Yeah, that third period started. Like, he had 17 shots on goal.
He was a minus one.
It didn't make him work. It didn't make their goalie work. Decent saves. I mean, I thought Tuukka was really good the other night. Tuukka's not the problem with his team right now when they lose games.
Oh, no.
That was one of the concerns heading in. Ooh, there'd be a quick leash. Yeah, well, they go to Halak if Tuukka shows some signs of giving up a couple. That is not the case.
If there's an issue with Tuukka, we'll be the first to tell you about it.
Yeah.
I have no issue with Tuukka.
A lot of standing around watching the puck deflections, too, from the back defensive end. Like, hey, guy blocks one, you're standing around. Got their sticks right around waist level. Like, Jesus. Get in there, help the guy out.
617-779-0985. Reaction to the Bruins game on Saturday night. Blue Jackets tie it up. It's 1-1. And game three of the series will now be played tomorrow night. I also wondered about Saturday if the fact that the Bruins have played so many games, maybe they needed the extra day, and maybe we're going to see a different team tomorrow night in Columbus. Maybe they just need a breather. They need a day.
Yeah. Yeah, Cassidy said it too. Go play Fortnite. Play Fortnite. I don't care how long you play. Play it all day. Just go to bed early.
Take a mental go. Take a break.
Early. Was that a shot at the Red Sox, by the way? Yeah, go play Fortnite?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I just think that the age group of his players.
Shot at society?
Are in that age group.
You know
group
what?
Of
it
all
is.
These
it's more of a shot of what
Fortnite
these players,
players.
Have yeah. Yeah. Like it's their sport or video games. And like we just don't get it. You, me, and Hardy. We don't play video games.
I don't think it's that we just don't get that particular game. You know, you and Bledsoe were playing Madden in the. You were bringing the Sega Genesis with
you
on the road
Doom
trips.
Phase? Did you ever play Doom?
Yeah. I played Madden and hockey last
night.
Not
obsessively, no.
Okay. By obsessively, I mean for maybe like a couple of months. And I would play it like a few times a week. But
it's where you flunk out of school.
You go down.
It was never one of my things.
You kind of go down that hole, and then it's all of a sudden you're playing it for
4:30 at night.
An hour or something. But no, the this is next level stuff. I think it's a much better game. It's probably. We should play it. We should see who gets hooked first.
Well,
you know, who can become an addict first?
Let's double up on our who jacked it pool, and we'll all put in another $100.
Can we redraft
because
people?
I'll raise my hand. I think I have the best chance of maybe getting hooked on that game. Maybe I can win my money back. We'll see who's, you know, who
so
ends up having a problem.
Maybe this summer, instead of watching a Netflix series as we did last summer, we we'll all go home and play Fortnite for a night.
I'd rather watch Netflix. Right? I'd rather watch something.
And live tweet it as we did last summer with that.
Yeah, that was fun.
What was that series name? With the lady with the bomb.
The killer.
The killer.
Who made a murder?
No, it wasn't.
Abbott and Costello meet the killer.
Who's on
Evil
first?
Genius.
Evil genius. Yes.
Making of a murder.
I think maybe this year, though, we need to be a little bit more like up to speed when we do it. Something has to be just coming out, and it's new, and it's catching on.
That thing was awesome.
We're a little behind.
Neck lock. Who would ever come up with that neck lock?
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Your reaction.
Needs a sub to chat when you can drop donos.
Drop a few donos. We'll get that all going. Get on the Twitch. We'll sign Zoe up for Twitch.
Nope.
We'll be able to watch his life 24/7.
I'm all set with that stuff. Twitch.
Truman Show, Zoe Show, all the same. We'll get to your phone calls. More on the Bruins. Patriots draft from over the weekend. And,
of course,
very impressive statement win from the Celtics yesterday in Milwaukee. That is all on the way today on Zolak and Bertrand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody.
17:45 left here in double OT as Wagner swings it deep. And now the Jackets ahead. It's going to be Bergeron who goes.
Tripped up Seth Jones.
Yeah, just the stick got caught, obviously. It's one of those plays that you make many times, and it's not going to happen, but my stick should be there at this point in the game.
Atkinson has it on the half wall, right wing side. Gives to Jones. Back to Atkinson across. Panera with a one-time shot. Save big rebound. And a score! And I got two words for you. Game over. Matt Duchene buries the power play goal, and the Blue Jackets skate away with a 3-2 win and have tied this series at one game apiece.
And then there's sort of the officiating angle of the game on Saturday night.
I got five words for you. Game over, punk ass bitches.
Check. Relax.
Bread maker. Maker of bread.
Bruce Cassidy not thrilled with some of the officiating, I thought, just from his tone. I don't think that anyone really wants to blame anything on officiating. But at least on the penalty by Bergeron at the end, I mean, that's on Bergeron. He said it himself. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Location of the stick. It's a bad call, but in real time, it looks like a trip. It does. It looked like a trip in real time.
The Bergeron call. The Bergeron
penalty.
Stick
where the guy fell.
I have no issue with that.
Yeah.
No, that was a trip. It was a trip.
But it's slow. When he slowed down, it didn't look like he made contact.
It's a trip.
Oh, he totally did.
It's a trip.
And he's sticking his stick way out in front like that. I don't know what he was going to achieve on that by putting the stick there. I get it, but listen.
Like, we do that with anything. You slow it down. I mean,
I assume Bergeron knew what he was doing, and he fully intended to do that. He didn't expect to trip the guy. That's
no,
all.
But it's just that there was no one else there, and everyone had a clear as day view of it.
It seemed to me like he was going down
right
prior to
the
stick,
open.
Being engaged.
Oh,
with
I
him.
Don't think so.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I don't think so.
I was home watching it.
Yeah, I didn't think he needed to do it. I thought
he just didn't need to do
it. Fall on himself.
There was nothing that was going to be achieved by putting the stick there.
Yeah.
So maybe he was. Maybe he was going to fall flat on his face anyway. But if you're an official on the ice on that particular call, how do you not call that? The one that I think everyone's going to be pissed about is the one before, where the official right on top of the play behind the net is not calling a penalty, and the guy who's out at the blue line is, which has some people upset. which I get, but this is why I just can't bring myself to somehow put it on the officiating.
Yeah, like
this
what's the ultimate bitch after
you
the loss?
Had your chances.
Yeah.
The Bruins had their chances in this game.
Other than
they
shoot
had
the
tons
damn puck.
Of chances.
Yep.
And Pasternak. So I just can't do it. Can't do it. Can't bring myself to blame the officiating in that game. Let's go to your phone, 617-779-0985. Open phone lines. Bruins lose on Saturday night. Game three tomorrow night. Cam and Taunton. Cam, go ahead.
You know, I mean, look, it was frustrating as hell Saturday. Don't get me wrong. It was frustrating as hell. But one thing, the Columbus has yet to score a straight-up 5-on-5 goal that was not fluky. They've all either gone in off skates or you've handed them on the puck on a silver platter. So they've yet to break out of the zone, break into their zone, and pick a corner. That hasn't happened yet. The Bruins have carried the 5-on-5 play. Rask has been as good as Bobrovsky. I think everyone needs to take a big, deep breath. The Bruins are the better team, and they should still, and they probably will still win this series. Everybody needs to calm down.
I'm calm.
That's kind of what we said.
Cam, like you'd be shocked. I'm calm. Cam, are you calm?
You have the same approach.
I'm the Bruin. I'm calm, but the tone of the game was I saw people saying Blue Jackets in five.
Oh, get out of here
Who
with that.
That.
Who said that?
Tons of people.
Those people suck.
Those tons of people.
Get out of here.
You.
Was it Blue Jackets
in
five.
Game that went to double overtime.
Get lost.
You're going to decide who wins the series based on a double overtime.
Where do you listen to that? The Tons of People podcast?
Yeah, where are those people?
The Tons of People podcast.
Blue Jackets. The Bruins need to wake up and they'll win the series. That's what it comes down to.
Wake up in the middle of period.
How about that first line? Wake up
in the second.
Yeah.
Hit some people in the second. That seemed to be a big issue with. They just weren't as engaged for a big stretch of that second period where they seemed to be content with just playing their game and see if we can, you know, see.
It's almost two identical second periods in a row.
Finagle our way down in front of the net and kind of catch them off guard. I don't think this team is going to – I don't think this Columbus team is going to necessarily fall for that. If they want to go out there and hit a little bit, then you got to hit them back just as hard and make them uncomfortable. And hopefully make them uncomfortable on their home ice tomorrow because, man, are they excited to be going home. Not the exact same scenario. They're not coming home up 2-0 like they were against the Lightning, but they're coming home with a tied series, and that crowd is going to be amped tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's a good win for them. That's a good win for them.
Make them uncomfortable early tomorrow night. It was a good win, but it's...
They needed that. They go home 0-2. I thought the series would be over if you go up 2-0 on them. Quickly.
Oh, yeah.
I got them in five. I said Bruins in five. They win tomorrow night? I think Bruins might be in trouble, actually. I don't want to say it's a must-win for the Bruins, but I'm to your point. Like, reestablish this series. Like, we're the better team. We know who you upset round one, okay? So we're going to take care of business here, and let's put you away.
I tell you what, if they are not physically engaged and the top line continues to have issues scoring, your top goal scorers have continue to have issues, and Blue Jackets get like a 5-0 win on a couple of bad goals against Tuukka, and you can't. Then yes, I'll worry. I'll worry then. But if it's a tight hockey game tomorrow night, and the Bruins don't necessarily bring their best effort at times, and a couple of dumb penalties, no, I'll still like the Bees in this one. I mean, keep it close. You're going to drop games. I'm going to drop games, especially on away from home. It's all right. Don't freak out if they lose tomorrow night. So. I don't want you freaking out.
Dave is in Worcester. Hi, Dave.
That depends how they lose. You know.
Well, yeah.
How What's up, Dave?
Hey, just as far as the officiating goes, you know, I'm not going to blame the game on the officiating. Yes, the Bruins had their chances, but I gotta tell you, I've seen a lot of shots. You know, I've seen a lot of Bruins with their heads down facing the boards, and they're getting cross-checked from behind into the boards. I've seen a lot of headhunting, and it just feels to me like the Blue Jackets get away with some of those calls, but the Bruins yanked at the slightest foul. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I understand that. I also think that when they did get called in the first overtime, when McAvoy got called for the high stick, the first issue with that is that the official who's out at the blue line is making the call, not the guy who's right on top of it. The guy who's looking right at the play, he's right on top of it, declines to call the penalty. But on top of that,
so why don't the refs get together and communicate and say, "Hey, I saw it clean. That's not a penalty. Let it go." They don't even communicate.
I think it's once someone calls it, that's it. It's over. It's called.
That's hockey. There's no conversing.
I've never seen it any other way.
No.
That's wrong, man. I've officiated high school football, and we always
sport,
get together,
man.
and go. I know a different sport, but you get to, as officials, you want to get it right, so you get together and discuss it.
If that's called the way it is in a regular season, why should everything change in the postseason?
Well, here's the thing, though. This is what I was going to get to: is that when it was called, that it was about midway through the overtime. I think it was about 10 minutes or so into it. So the first 10 minutes of the overtime, anything went. It was everything goes, which is the way it's sort of supposed to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? And if you've seen it, if you watched it and you saw the high stick, I mean, it barely touched him. And when it did, it may have grazed him. I mean, got him real quick, right here, right on the side of the head, real quick. And of course he takes a dive, but I just look at that and say, you've let everything go. You're going to call that.
Yeah.
I mean, you've let everything go to this point.
Because they were letting,
why are you
they
calling
were
that one?
To the point of the earlier call, too. They were letting him play against the boards. They were letting you hit people, too.
I hate to get dragged down on this because I don't think it mattered.
I'm more pissed off.
I think the Bruins had their chances. I don't think officiating determined the outcome at all.
How about
that? It sucks. Yeah, but whatever. Officiating sucks all the time and everything.
People should be more upset about the Coyle turnover than losing the damn puck and giving them pretty much an easy path to a goal there than the damn officiating this game. Yeah, we can sit here and bitch about ticky-tack calls here and there, but can you see why the guy called it? Kind of. Yeah. Wasn't as egregious as what happened with Las Vegas. Yeah.
Mark is in Medford. Hi, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Yeah, you know what? I don't agree with the officiating either. I don't think it was called down the middle, but I don't think that was the main problem. The main problem is that you're turning the puck over way too much. Oh. I mean, that play by Chara was sickening. Okay, if you're going to shoot it out to the middle, sky it in the air or something. Don't do the little fluttery wrist shot to try and get it out of the zone. And except for that stupid fluky goal that went off a Pasternak's skate the other night, the third and fourth line have scored all your points. Okay, the first and second line need to wake up and get their heads out of their asses.
Completely
agree. Especially David Pasternak.
Yep, completely agree. Their first line is not produced, and Pasternak is not. It produced one shot the other night.
We're still talking about it. Like the nice thing you have is that third and fourth line.
That's great.
They're the ones keeping you in games and allowing you to win these type of games.
What did I tell you the other day? I said, that's wonderful. I love that. Yeah. I love that you have that depth scoring. Not what you're supposed to rely on.
It's great for a game or two.
Yes.
Not when you get to 3-4, it becomes a trend. And that's not good.
And you watch this type of team wear your ass down the other night.
That's not what you're supposed to use in the playoffs routinely either. It's nice that you have it.
You need a couple of those wins. Not all of them.
Along the way. Because you need a lot of wins, and it takes a lot to get all the way.
I always refer to those as the Robert Horry games. Those games, Robert Horry would always win those games in the NBA playoffs. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, all right, those are the Robert Horry games. You need those to win a championship.
Yeah, and you know what, Jim? We're just not that far enough into this run yet. Okay, we're two games into round two.
Tony Allen.
Yeah, Jim. Mo is in Quincy. Mo. Yeah.
Hello?
Hey, Mo.
Hello?
Yeah, I think everyone's really underestimating Columbus. They beat Tampa in four straight, and I don't think they're getting enough credit for how good they are.
I think we gave them plenty of credit before the series, but
I'm giving them less credit now than I did before the series, now that I've watched them for two games.
The Bruins looked so good in game one. I think people were... I think whatever fear people had of Columbus, fans had of Columbus, if you hadn't watched them a lot during the regular season, which I did not, or only see them during the playoffs, you think, oh, I don't know how the Bruins are going to stack up. In game one, they look completely capable of taking care of this team.
Yeah, but this team looks, I don't want to say clunky, but they hit back. They don't turtle. That's what you respect. You could tell.
That's true. They definitely had a response Saturday night. It was a response every time.
And they got excited when they responded. And that's like something you like about the Bruins, too.
They're very good. Bobrovsky's really good. They've got enough weapons and enough depth to give you a problem on each line. And it's not going to be a cakewalk. I think every game is going to be tight in this series.
How about Krug fighting the other night, too? That was fun to watch. See him get a little stirred at things.
Yeah,
a couple shots.
Angry little guy.
Like that.
Yeah.
A little more of that. Start a fight early in this game. Get something going tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hey, how's the Cher concert since everybody's so tired? You know, like
last
the Bruins
night,
are tired.
Yeah, I saw that.
Can't skate. Yeah, stay off your feet. Get to bed early and all that.
No, I thought it was great that they played Cher Saturday concert instead of playing Sunday.
Yeah.
That was fabulous.
Get that in before the concert.
Glad they were able to get the Cher concert in last night.
Bull Gang probably had a good
for everybody
day yesterday. Yeah.
Well, Beatle, if they could turn back time, maybe they would do things differently.
617-779-0985.
It's a hit song from Cher, Beatle. I don't know if you picked up on that.
Patriots rounds 2 through 7 happened since our last show.
Get you our
recap thoughts on that, what the Patriots did after the first round, including some trades up, some trades down. We'll get to all of it. We'll continue with Bruins calls throughout the day. Also, Celtics on the way as well.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
And with the 45th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the champs select Juwan Williams, DB, Vanderbilt.
New England Patriots select Chase Winovich, DN, Michigan.
The New England Patriots select Damian Harris, running back, Alabama.
The New England Patriots select Yadik Kajus, offensive tackle, West Virginia. Go back.
That was good. They started letting like season ticket holders go up and start announcing the picks, which I think is pretty great.
I like Hightower.
Go Pats!
Go Pats!
Go Pats!
Hightower looked good, man. Guys dropped some weight. Slid into champ select. I like that.
Weight?
Yeah.
Some?
He's not too tiny, though. I mean, look at him in
some
picture.
Feels like he's lost a lot of weight.
It's a neck.
All right, round one, we know. N'Keal Harry, the receiver out of Arizona State. We spent a lot of time talking about that pick on Friday. And then on Friday night, when round two started, the Patriots moved up and they got the guy off the big board, off the Felger and Maz big board. As Felger would say, it was Jojuwan Williams.
Yep, Jojuwan. J-O-E-J-U-A-N. Jojuwan Williams from Vanderbilt.
Yeah, also known as Jojuwan Williams. Yeah. He was at pick number 45, 13th overall. So the Patriots moved up to go back up and get him at the start of night two. Love that. And you know why? You know, I didn't have corner labeled as a need for them, but I love that it's a position, as I told you Friday, if they were to do it. I think maybe it was Thursday.
Yeah.
You can never have enough edge rushers. You can never have enough good corners.
You see him.
You can't have enough of those guys.
You see him in a suit. Then you see some of the video clips. Then you see him, like, how he's cut up. And that first thing I thought of was Tubucky Jones. I thought Tubucky Jones, big, tall, lanky type corner. And I know Pete wanted to make him a corner, but he ultimately be a safety. But I'm talking from a physical, athletic standpoint. I hope he's not Tubucky Jones. I hope this guy's a hell of a lot better. But just from the physical stature, I mean, this isn't like you're drafting some small nickel type corner you're going to kick inside and he's going to be a speed guy. This is a guy that you could put opposite Gilmore and take everybody else that you got up and running last year, Keon Crossan, J.C. Jackson from Maryland. Kick those guys inside. Teach them the nickel. And you got experienced safeties back there. And then you get Winovich that you could slide in there like in that Brewski role in that front seven. And I know we'll get to him, but this defense has a chance to even get better than what they are.
All right, Winovich was the third pick that they made in the draft with 77 overall. That was pick 14 of the third round. Again, a position of need and a position that you can never have enough good players at, so I'll never, ever fault a team for drafting a corner or an edge rusher.
Guys got personality.
Can't
seems like
ever
this draft,
be in trouble for drafting guys at those positions.
This draft feels like it's got a little personality to it, too. Not a bunch of stiffs.
Maybe.
Not a bunch of jags. I talked to Soci on the way, and I said, I've been doing this now for a long time, 6 years. I said, this feels like the first real draft where you draft somebody, you think, okay, we're excited to see these top two picks really make contributions right away. Not saying plug and play players, but should be able to get on that field first couple series that he's that first game of the year.
Here were the rest of the picks. Damian Harris, running back. We'll get back to this one.
Good player.
That was in the third round. Also, as you just heard, Yadni Kajus, tackle out of West Virginia, also in the third round. Fourth round picks. I don't know how to say the guards from Arkansas's name. How do we say his name?
Yeldy?
Yeldy.
Yeldy Froholt?
Yes.
Okay. Yeldy Froholt from Arkansas. Fourth round.
Denmark.
Quarterback.
Yeah, the teammates at Arkansas didn't know how to say his name either. They just called him Denmark.
Okay, Denmark. I like that. I'll call him that. That's an easy one. As long as he's okay with it, I don't want to offend him.
Yeah.
Seems like, oh, he's okay with a lot of stuff. We'll hear from him in the read and react.
Okay, cool. Round four also, quarterback out of Auburn, kid we talked about, Jared Stidham.
Yeah, Burt was all over this too. Burt predicted this.
Fifth round picks, Byron Cowart, defensive tackle out of Maryland, go Terps.
Nice.
Another fifth rounder, Jacob Bailey out of Stanford, punter, right-footed punter. And in the seventh round.
This is interesting to me because of the way the Ryan Allen signing went down and how good a year Allen had, especially in the Super Bowl where he could have been an MVP. Switch agents, maybe piss Bill off, got a one-year deal done, only $100,000 signing bonus. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trade up and I'm going to draft a right-footed punter.
We're talking about the 163rd overall pick.
It still got Who done, cares? Though. It still is a move that was made.
Who cares?
Move that's made.
You think that's a fifth rounder. I feel like you get to round five. After round five, you say, who cares? I think round five still matters.
That's like giving up that type of pick for a Demaryius Thomas type player.
Yeah.
Those picks matter.
I'm not holding anybody's fifth round picks against
them. It's an interesting move, to say the least.
Anything you get in the fifth round of value, awesome. Good for you. So do I think he's making the team over Ryan Allen? No.
I like Ryan Allen. I just think maybe Ryan Allen pissed him off.
Jacob Bailey has 0.0% chance of being the Patriots punter when they open the season in 2019.
Then you have to be pissed about that pick.
No, I'm not pissed at all. I just told you.
They got a punter off the street to compete with Allen. Yeah. You don't have to draft a guy in the fifth round. You can save that for a trade. You can do something with that pick. Trade it for a fifth next year.
Can get him onto your practice squad?
I don't care. If you like it here Ryan Allen. I'm a little peeved about this pick.
From your, you get him into camp and then you get him onto your practice squad. And you think that you can shelve him on your practice squad for a year, then that's good.
That didn't work last year with Borges.
But sometimes it does work.
Borges.
Sometimes it does work. I'm not going to get pissed over a fifth round pick. You guys do that on your time. I can't do that.
Yeah, Jim, do it on your time, Jim.
When's my time?
Do it on your time. Right now. You know what? It is your time. You know what? I'm an idiot. I apologize. And I'm being sincere.
So on the Zolak and Bertrand show, you do it on your time.
No, I apologize. Are you pissed about it?
If I was Ryan Allen, I'd be a little pissed about it. Yeah.
No, you, Scott Zolak, not Ryan Allen.
I'm not pissed.
So I think the exact opposite to you. I think there's a 100% chance he makes the team.
They targeted him. This tells you they targeted him.
Really?
Yes. And look at we sat here talking about why is it Ryan Allen signed? This is weird. He switched agents.
But he did sign.
So maybe he misplayed it. He ended up signing. He only got
Unless this is the rare year, they keep a kickoff guy.
Oh.
Because he kicks off.
Oh,
and he said that afterwards. Maybe
they just signed Gostkowski to a contract.
I know that.
Vanateri stopped kicking off at the same age Gostkowski is right now.
Oh. It'd save him. Let him concentrate.
Gostkowski was still good on kickoffs though last year, was he not?
He was very good. But
I have the stat. I'll pull it up.
Okay,
it's a different swing.
Okay,
it's a different swing of the leg, and you could just tell Steve go concentrate on field goals.
His comments, the punter, were those made before or after the draft? When he said, like, yeah, teams are, maybe keep an extra guy because their kickers are getting older and they don't want to do the kickoffs. Was that before or after?
That was during the conference call, I believe.
It was during the conference call after he was selected.
After he was picked.
It says they were 25th in the league, only a 53.8 touchback percentage. But how much of that is game plan? How much of that was based on his leg?
Yeah.
I'm sure some of that was game plan. But
I think a lot of the non-touchbacks are game planned. You can just tell it's a different flight of the football, and he kicks it differently.
I'm just telling you that in the fifth round, I don't hold fifth round picks against anybody, and against Bill Belichick. If you don't hit in the fifth round, oh well, we move on. We move on. Life goes on.
If I was ESPN or NFL Network, you just clear all of your analysts, get rid of McShay, get rid of all these guys, and you just have Felger and Mass big board people come in and just say, "Here's the board." And have Murray and his weird slingshot just fire things across set. And that's what's going to happen in the draft.
They took another corner, by the way, at 252, a compensatory pick in the seventh round, which was the 38th pick of the seventh round. What was the final pick number in the draft? Do we know? I can look it up.
Oh, Mr. Relevant?
Yeah, because it changes year to year. But at pick 252, they got Ken Webster out of Mississippi.
Corner.
That's what they did there. So my question would be, and this is what I think happened. They didn't get a tight end. They didn't draft one. And I think what happened was they didn't target one high. They didn't want to trade up for one. And when they got past where they were at let's say the Williams pick, or they got outside of the first 40 picks or so, the quality dropped off quickly and they didn't want to bother drafting one.
Yeah.
Right? So they didn't go after one. This is the only surprise that I had throughout this draft, that they didn't target another receiver in it, that they didn't pick up another guy somewhere along the way.
Right.
I thought they would draft a second receiver somewhere and they didn't.
You got a whole lot of undrafted receivers coming in.
And that's part of my reasoning. I thought they were going to pick up another one in the draft, and then I saw how many were there, like four?
It's a head scratcher to me that the tight end position has not been addressed, and they're in a spot there to where they could have drafted Irv Smith from Alabama. They could have drafted other guys, or the Sternberger kid that they had eyes on.
Maybe they got something else in the hopper.
Or Texas A&M.
Maybe they got something else going on.
Yeah, maybe
Kyle Rudolph.
Maybe they do.
A little tight end at Michigan.
Oh,
maybe he could be a red zone Vrabel type.
Maybe that's what they're doing. I saw one of those.
You may be changing offensive philosophy here too, with the approach, with the type of running.
Get
backs.
Get away from using
the multitude of running backs. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so that's part of the sort of the questioning was, why did they pick a running back in the third round, and why did they pick a running back in Damian Harris, who, according to all the scouts,
it's easy to me,
and all the draft people, the draft folks,
yeah,
they say he's got no value in the passing game. He can't catch. He can't pass protect.
Oh, how much value did Jeremy Hill have in the passing game when he came here? Because that's a guy who was going to make the football team prior to having his knee blown out in preseason, along with Sony Michel making the team after he got drafted. People forget that Jeremy Hill was going to be your battering ram. They really still don't have a battering ram. As much as we like Sony Michel, he's not a 30-carry or 25-carry-a-game guy. You'll wear that kid out in 3 years. He may not even be here after 5 years, after the 5-year control on a first rounder. So they could be bringing in a guy to say, it's not Burkhead. Burkhead's a good runner between the tackles, but not when you put him in there and give him 10 straight carries. It's dosing him against certain personnel when you got nickel at the end of games where he could crease you. Rex Burkhead's a good back. I look at him as more of a, I don't want to say flex guy, but he's a flex guy. He's like James White's backup, and he's a guy that you could also hand the ball to. You still have Michelle, you still have James White. Those are your top two backs. Then it's Burkhead. Then it would be this kid. And Brandon Bolden's here to play special teams.
Well, this kid said on Friday night, was Friday night? Yes. When he got drafted? Saturday.
He's a good back. I watched a lot of Alabama. Yeah. This kid can play.
Yeah, third round. Sorry. Friday night on the conference call that he finds playing special teams fun. He likes it. I heard that and I said, that's a guy you should be signing up to play special teams.
Sure.
Rookies. You don't need Bolden. You need this guy.
Bolden's a good special team.
You need Damian.
Sorry.
They also drafted a quarterback in the fourth round. What does that mean? We'll talk about that with your calls next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org. In partnership with MGM Springfield.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jarrett Stidham, he throws the best ball of anybody in this draft. You put him in shorts and a t-shirt, you would pick Jarrett Stidham as the guy. He's a great athlete, just wasn't a great fit in that Auburn offense after transferring from Baylor. I think he needed to sit, and he obviously is going to get plenty of opportunity to do that in New England, even for a couple years. I think this is a payoff long term. But I went to the Elite 11 last year, where all the top college quarterbacks came in as counselors, and they were all there. I'm talking about Tua from Alabama, Jarrett Stidham was there, Drew Locke, Will Greer, all those guys. And when you watched them all just throwing shorts, I left there saying, that Jarrett Stidham throws it better than all of these guys. That's what type of arm talent he has.
You know, I read something over the weekend about Jarrett Stidham, and I apologize to whoever it is that wrote it because I can't remember where I saw it. But it referenced that, the throwing in shorts, that if you could get drafted just based on the way you work out as a quarterback, doing one of these workouts, throwing in shorts, that this guy would be the top-rated quarterback in the draft. But unfortunately, you have to actually go out and play the games.
Yeah.
And for him, that wasn't always best at times. Here's what I like, what I've heard about this kid. Again, I have no idea if his talent will translate to the next level.
I actually watched a bunch of his games.
Here's what I know about him that I know you can know will translate.
Yep.
Do you hear about all the injuries he's played through?
Yeah.
He's had a back injury. He's had a laundry list of injuries over the last 2 years, and he's played through all of them.
Supposedly, they don't have a protection scheme where, like, they slide to the strength of whatever the side the defense is coming at you. You know, if it looks like too strong, you can check your protection. Hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to keep a back in and help you out here.
So he's tough as nails. That translates always.
Remember when Andre Ware got his head taken off the next level? Same thing happened to RG3 a little bit, that Baylor scheme, where you really don't protect the quarterback. It's got to be back foot hits and that ball's gone, or you're going to get your head ripped off. And in the SEC, good luck trying to make a living doing that.
So why they draft him?
They drafted him because he's got size, he's got arm strength, and I think, you know, Bill respects the fact that he played in the SEC and played at a high level. Started at Baylor, transferred to Auburn. He was there during that kick. Remember that miracle kick when Alabama attempted that long field goal at the end of regulation, and it was short, and the kid fielded it.
I think you're telling me why he's good. I'm talking about the Patriots from their perspective.
Why they look? Because I think he's better than Danny Etling, or has the potential to be better than Brian Hoyer once he understands the offense. He's going to be your backup. That's why they drafted him. So
can he be the backup year one?
Probably not. I could see Hoyer being it. I think ideally they'd probably like to develop him and somehow keep Danny Etling on a practice squad or trade him or something. They like Etling. I think this kid's better than Etling. That's the way they look at it. We prefaced this last week too. There aren't alarms going off here because this is the next Tom Brady.
No.
If it was a second rounder or you pull the trigger for Josh Rosen, then maybe that's an indicator.
We set the parameters.
We did.
First two rounds.
This is not alarming.
You had to be in the first two rounds for it to be the next guy.
I expected him to draft somebody, and if it was going to be Wilger in a second or third, maybe that would have been interesting.
This is a project.
This is a project.
Project, guy that needs some coaching.
Go have fun, Josh. Entertain Josh.
Wasn't a star in college. Guy that has a lot of potential, a lot of upside, but isn't there yet. He's a project.
I think Josh needed a new toy.
That's what he is.
Yeah. He's bored with Brady. Like, you don't have to worry about Brady.
Project.
Josh likes Brady, loves Brady, but it runs itself. You know?
He's definitely on the roster with the pick he was taking.
Oh, sure he is.
So it's Etling versus Hoyer.
I spent
for
10
that
years.
Other slot.
I spent 10 years getting picked in the same slot, fourth round. Yeah. That's when you go. What was his number? 132? What number was he drafted?
Oh. I'll check. Was it
He was drafted at 133.
133. Okay, I thought 132. Yeah. I was a lot ahead of him.
How much ahead of him?
Pretty much. I think Bruce can't ever same. 84th overall pick?
Yeah. Fourth rounder.
Yeah.
But like kinda a third rounder.
Held out third round money.
Yeah.
No. It's a little extra change.
So he's a new project, and he's eventually the backup.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I got him picked for.
With the outside chance that he develops into something more.
It gives me, hey.
That's what he is? That's what you're going with?
Yeah, I'm going to be a little more entertained at camp because I'm going to get a chance to watch this kid throw and see how he is. You know, like, that excited me. I got excited when I got to see Ryan Mallett throw a little bit. Now, is Daniel Jeremiah the new Mike Mayock? Strong arm, first round talent.
Wouldn't it just
be this kid in shorts, man, he could throw the bleep out of
that. Jared Stidham throws it better than all of these guys. That's what type of arm talent he has.
Future trade bait.
Hardy, wouldn't it just be so Patriots that they have Tom Brady for two decades? And then they go on and find the next great quarterback in the fourth round.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
All you other morons.
Wouldn't that just be so Patriot?
All you other morons.
You think you hate them now.
Wait till they do it again.
Yeah, hey. You think they're hated now.
I got stuck watching him play a lot because when we travel, the Saturday night game of the week is usually Auburn or Alabama playing somebody, whether it's LSU or, you know, someone else or Clemson. And I watch a lot of Stidham games at night.
Yeah.
I said, hey, this kid's pretty good. And he, you know what? He can move well with his feet. He's a good competitor. I think that's what they like of him, too. Like, he could skate a little bit, and I mean, he's got a little edge to him. And he's tough. Like, he got the bleep kicked out of him. And when you're getting T-bone like that in the SEC, I think that I'll give you a little happy feet, which is some of the negative reviews when you look at some of the people that evaluate him, that he won't hang in there. But I think he does hang in there more than he gets credit for.
So they have a type, SEC quarterbacks. Ryan Mallett, they drafted.
Etling,
Jacoby Brissett started in the SEC at Florida.
True. Yep. All true.
Good football.
Sense. Yeah, good. It's football.
X's and O's.
This was a guy drafted in the third round out of Arkansas with first round arm talent.
Yep. Well, that's what we're hearing right now about this kid. First round arm talent, Jared Stidham. First round arm talent. Hey, looks great in shorts.
2 years ago, they had him projected. It's, you know, like when they do the projections, you know, next year's draft or the draft 2 years out. They had him first round like 2 years ago. And then he dropped because of some poor play here and there.
617-779-0985. We'll continue on. Bruins calls, Patriots calls. But we do need to discuss the Celtics with a great win yesterday to open up their series in Milwaukee. We'll touch on that after these headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.